In studio is a local broadcast legend. His name is Jumpin' Joe Madigan. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm honored that you'd want to get up this early and come on my show.
Holy smokes, I'm honored that you want me on your show.
Joe, you play some of the greatest music anywhere, and you're one of the better, best DJs in town. And, you know, we all have our different styles, but it's great that we're in that fraternity that we can kind of share things together.
Oh, absolutely. It's really cool to be here at WCSB. It's been a long time since I've been here.
Nice place.
Oh, absolutely. The record collection is just overwhelming. It's unbelievable.
It's voluminous. It's almost like a labyrinth of vinyl. And you kind of walk down and you go, my God, there's this and there's that. And your mind starts to expand and you go in different directions. And then all of a sudden, it pulls you back to where you need to be. And that's where we're at right now. Joe, what got you into doing what you do?
That's a great question. I remember the day very well, actually. I was 9 years old. For those who don't know, I'm 38 years old, so that puts things into a perspective. I was 9 years old. I had just gotten glasses, and back then glasses weren't very cool, so all the kids in grade school were not very kind to me. And I was home sick from school one day, and I was watching TV, and The Muppet Show came on, and this guy named Elton John was the guest.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I became obsessed with this guy, thinking, wow, this guy is great, and he wears glasses. This is cool.
Yeah.
Cool people can actually wear glasses.
Right.
So Elton John got me into music, and it just really branched out from there.
Yeah, he was with a band called Bluesology in the 60s.
Yes, yeah. And he was writing his own lyrics at the time.
Yeah, I really like...
He was named Reginald Dwight then.
That's his real name, yeah.
Yeah.
We would call him Reg.
Reg?
I'm kidding, but that's what his friends would call him.
He's been playing songs from Bluesology the past couple of weeks.
So, you know, Joe, you took it from there, and then the first time you got behind the mic, was it a little intimidating? Were you nervous? Anything like that?
I was nervous and excited at the same time. I grew up in St. Louis, so I did not know how profound and impactful college radio is here in Cleveland.
Mm.
You know, I thought, it's just something for fun. But I didn't realize that a lot of people listen to college radio in Cleveland. It's awesome.
They do. They really have a tons and tons of people. You know, I told people, well, I'm on CSB. Oh, it's a college station. Nobody listens to that. But no, that's not true. The people that listen to college radio are the most educated music people there are. You know that.
Absolutely.
They're,
no doubt about it.
My God, they educate me, and they're brilliant. I would much rather do a show like this for free, you know, just volunteer, then get paid to do something I hate. You know, I mean, I know it sounds crazy to say that, but it really is. It's more rewarding because, you know, the people out there listening to what you play care about what you play, and they expect a certain level of performance, and it really kind of raises the bar for you. You go, I gotta be up for this. I gotta be ready. You know, I gotta put my A game on. You do it every week.
Thank you, and you do as well. It's really incredible. We learn a lot from our listeners.
Yeah, yeah. What is one of the most profound things you ever learned from a listener that called you that kind of like it took you back?
Wow, that's a great question. I can't think of anything at the moment here. I've met a lot of people who have played a lot of records for me, so I guess that would. That would certainly
Was there count. A song that blew you away the first time you heard it and you had no idea who this band was?
Oh, geez, there's so many.
Yeah. Well, you did bring an album by Richard and the Young Lions, or a compilation album.
It is a compilation album I picked up a long time ago. And the reason why I picked it up, two reasons. Number one, there's a picture of Richard and the Young Lions in the front. And number two, I was single at the time, there's a picture of the Pleasure Seekers on the back.
Wow, that is nice.
Oh, yeah. And plus, every single song on this compilation is an absolute killer. The Swingin' Machine, Do You Have to Ask?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the band hated that song. Absolutely hated that song.
Why?
Because they were doing Carolina soul music, or Carolina beach music.
Yeah.
And in order for them to get a recording deal, they were forced to record this song.
Mm.
And they resented the band manager for letting them do this song. They wanted nothing to do with the song.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there's a website devoted to the Swingin' Machine, and if you go on their website, they mention every single record they release except Do You Have to Ask, which is the record they're known for.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how certain musicians, artists go, they dismiss their hit and they just want to focus on something else instead of embracing it. That's what made you. You know, the Carolina Beach music, the Jitterbug stuff, you know, like Give Me Just a Little More Time by Chairman of the Board and stuff like that, Under the Boardwalk and what have you. But not that that's bad music, but sometimes you have to compromise a little bit. You have to sometimes.
Yes, but on the flip side, if you hear some of their other recordings, they're actually pretty amazing. They do what I think is the best version of To Love Somebody, the Bee Gees song.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. You would think it was a Stax record. It's really, really good. So something worth looking up.
We're going to play some of that in just a moment. Joe, when you go to work, how much preparation do you put into a show prior to coming?
Well, I people think I just get in the studio and just have at it. Well, no, there's a lot of planning that goes into the show. I'd say probably 5 to 8 hours worth of planning and researching every single show.
Is there anything that you kind of debated whether you thought was appropriate to play or not? Have you ever got to that point where an oldie was something that, do I really want to go there? Maybe yes, maybe no.
Yeah, I have thought about that many times. One time I was a little worried about playing Trouble Coming Every Day by the Mothers of Invention, just because all the things that were talked about in the song were actually happening. And I thought, oh man, I'm trying to get people to escape reality for a little while. I don't know if I want to play it. And so I actually talked to a couple people and they said, oh yeah, play it. It totally makes sense. Plus, nobody else is playing it.
Right. That's exactly. And when somebody, you know, when people are not playing something that's really good, it's nice to be able to share it with people. As long as it, you know, if you're not in safe harbor, you got to be careful. But other than that, you know.
Oh, yeah, in terms of language, it's never been an issue because, you know, I don't play anything with, you know, foul language.
Either do I.
Well, we can't.
Well, we can't to begin with, but I've never considered, you know, editing out anything. Yeah. Right. I just don't go there.
You
I
don't unless go there. You're in safe harbor.
Yeah, we don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I played shows overnight, and I still won't do it. I don't need to do it. I don't need to do that. I mean, other people feel the need to do it, which is fine. They have the right to do it in safe harbor, and that, you know, God bless them. It's just that I don't feel comfortable, so I'm not going to do it. You know,
you do and you scramble it, and then I end up finding the record.
Cindy, I really don't do it very often. It's maybe a Richard Cheese song if I have to, because I love Richard Cheese.
Oh, those are hilarious.
I know, he's that's beyond, that's for another show.
Have you heard Richard Cheese?
I can't say that I have.
He sings the rap songs in lounge style, so you can hear all the lyrics you never knew that were there.
Well, you know, there's a Slipknot song that he does, and, you know, I'll play something that you can play in the morning, so the audience knows who he is.
He'll play, when he does the TV show songs, like Gilligan's Island, or that's what he'll play, or Good Times. But you know how the Good Times theme song ends?
Yeah.
Ain't we lucky we got him? He go, aren't we lucky we have them?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, we just sit there and like...
All right. We'll be back in just a moment with Jumpin' Joe Madigan. Back on the Ray Carr Show, 8:29 is the official time. We have a very busy morning and grateful that the great Jumpin' Joe Madigan is here with me in studio. Joe, someday I want to come and see your studio.
All right. Yeah, it's literally in the basement of my house. Thus the name of the show, Jumpin' Joe's Basement Show.
Huh.
Jumpin' Joe's Basement Show. I mean, is it more comfortable for you to do a show in your own house, or do you like going to a studio?
I'd rather be live. There's something special about being live. It's a completely different feel. But because of what's going on in my life, it's a lot easier for me to do the show at home. So that's why I stopped doing retro radio, which was a recreation of 1960s Top 40 radio in Cleveland. So
right.
I featured the WXY 60 survey, the Sound 11 survey, the WHK Toondex. So knowing that that type of a show wouldn't work in the basement, I decided to branch out a little bit. And people, longtime listeners have called me and said, Joe, you know, I loved retro radio, but your new show is even better. And I like it too, because it allows me to branch out a little bit more, because I got to the point where I got so OCD about the show, wanting it to be absolutely perfect and sound exactly the way it did. I would really restrict myself from playing certain songs, but now I can go outside of the box and it's great again.
I think it's great that you do that, because it allows you to be more of who you are. I think when you become too rigid in your parameters, your creativity goes with that. I mean, you got to let your creativity go. And if you have the inclination to do something, it may be unorthodox, it may not be exactly the way they did it, do it your way. Take some of the good of the old radio days and then add them to what you do, which makes it better. And it's more natural and organic, I think. And that's kind of what I do. I mean, I admire a lot of the old broadcasters, but I ultimately have to do what I know how to do. And I can't fake that, because otherwise it's not natural and it's not comfortable. And I've done other things, like, you know, in the broadcast world, I've been on other stations that were very stifling. It's not comfortable, because you want to say stuff, you want to do stuff, but you can't. It's almost like there's like a straitjacket on. You can't move. And now this allows us to be who we are, you know, whatever that is, Joe, you know.
And that's why I don't work in radio professionally today, because I figured it doesn't get any better than college radio.
No, you're right. You're right. And I think somebody with your knowledge, your style, you're too good for that. And I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people in the corporate world, and we know corporate radio is taken over to a point where they don't care about quality. All they care about is everything is robotic, everything is systematic. It sounds the same in Cleveland as it does in Phoenix. Doesn't matter. We don't want personalities. We just want people to play the music, and maybe a computerized generated voice will come on and tell people what it is. They don't want that anymore. You and I are the anomaly.
Well, half the problem isn't just that they don't want people on mic. The music that's playing these days.
Well, that's we all know about that. We don't even have to bring that up.
We don't talk about it here.
We don't even have to bring that up. It's a known fact. It's a given. I just don't want to even talk about it. So, but you know, the music of the past, Joe, is there. Why do you think the late '60s were so good? Because we play a lot of stuff from 67 to 70. Why? I mean, it couldn't be, you know, the times were tough, sure. Vietnam and, you know, and a lot of that was going on. It was difficult, stressful. But that era just spawned so much incredible music in all different directions. Psychedelia, some surf music was fading out. But, you know, there was a lot of good stuff that went on.
Music just evolved so fast. I mean, the Beatles of 1964 sounded completely different than the Beatles of 1966. So in 2 years, so much change, and people were trying to keep up with it. And I think the British band certainly helped revive an interest in blues music.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny that the American blues musicians had to go over to England to get noticed. Right. And then the Rolling Stones did the blues stuff, and then the white kids in America got hip to it, and it's really incredible how...
Yeah. Train Kept a Rolling comes to mind. Tiny Bradshaw in 1951 did the original version, and then the Yardbirds and everybody else and their uncle did the song, which is a great song. And then it comes back, and I heard the British versions of it, and I didn't know who did the original, but then I, you know, as I got older, I researched it, and I go, wow, it was, you know, it's like, you know, there's like the people like Big Joe Turner, and those people that are forgotten about, all those great blues people.
I'm trying to remember the name of the television show, but the Rolling Stones appeared, it may have been Shindig, or Hullabaloo, and they would do it under one condition, that Howlin' Wolf had to appear.
Yeah.
And it's one of the greatest moments television history that needs to be talked about more. It's very significant.
Yeah, they said he comes on to do the show and we let him do his thing, because they're giving him the adulation that he deserves.
And it's amazing watching the Rolling Stones watch Howlin' Wolf on stage. They're in awe. And it's just mind-blowing seeing that.
It is. It's on YouTube if you like to see it. It's really, really good.
I want to see it.
Well, you can look it up, Cindy.
Yeah. I didn't know that was saved.
It was saved. Joe, what are we going to play here?
Well, since I mentioned this compilation album with Richard and the Young Lions and the Pleasure Seekers, and I mentioned the Swingin' Machine, we're going to play their cult classic hit right now. It's called Do You Have to Ask?
You're gone from me. When you ask why I lie, I lie 'cause you said me.
All right. Thank you so much. That's a great song.
An absolute killer record, and they want nothing to do with that song. Unbelievable.
I can't believe it, Joe. Jumpin' Joe Madigan, our special in-studio guest. We have one more song, and the great Cindy Verbalen will give us the entertainment news that everybody's waiting for. And Joe, one more song, and we're going to hear a very interesting one. It's going to go out to Grady. We love Grady. He's a very loyal listener and has been for a long, long time.
Yes, he's been telling me for years that we need to team up someday. So here we are, Grady. It's finally happening.
Yeah. It really is great. I just wish, Joe, you don't have to be, a stranger. You can come down anytime you want.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. That'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, we're here 4 hours every week, so yeah. Anytime you want, come down.
And we're going to play The Pleasure Seekers?
Yes. Great. One of Grady's favorites.
Here we go. Joe, the original version of Papa was a Rolling Stone. Do you remember the original version of it?
You played it a few weeks ago. I remember that.
Oh, I should have been paying attention. I only know the Temptations version, but there's a lot of covers or a lot of songs out there that you think are originals that are actually not.
We should do a show on original versions.
I've got one for you.
Well, go ahead and play it. We'll do it live. I like this. I like this spontaneity here. You can move that over. So Joe Madigan's going to step up to the turntable right now.
Okay.
And Joe's going to surprise us. And that's perfectly fine, Joe, because I don't want this to be planned. I want this to be completely organic here.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a couple months back, you had a person on that wrote a book about songs, original songs, original versions.
Yeah, that was Bob Leschek.
Did he mention a song called You Could Have Been a Lady?
No, he did not.
Okay, that was a big hit for April Wine in Cleveland in 1972. But the original was done by a band that didn't have an international hit until 1975, 1976. And this is from 1970.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you who it is?
Yes.
Hot Chocolate.
And they also did the original version of Brother Louie.
That's right, they did.
Yeah. And then the Stories did it shortly afterward. Their version was a huge hit. But Hot Chocolate from England, I think Mickey Most must have produced this too, right? I don't know. Because I know he produced it.
Yes.
Mickey Most did produce it.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so I do remember that. So I'm not getting too old. All right, here we go. All right, this is good.
never been a lady.
Joe, I'll tell you what, we have really got some, we're uncovering. The onion is being peeled back, if you will. Tell us what we're going to hear next.
What we're going to hear next is an absolute killer version of Harlem Shuffle from Bob Cuban and the Inman. And the story is, Bob Cuban, he is not the lead singer. He is the drummer of the band, very much like the Dave Clark Five. And right. He still performs today. So about 10 years ago, I was in St. Louis to see him perform. And during one of the breaks, I walked up to him and I said, Bob, your version of Harlem Shuffle is absolutely killer. And he practically fell off the floor because he couldn't believe anybody actually remembered the song. And he said that he was down in Miami, Florida on vacation, and he saw Wayne Cochran and the CC Riders do it.
Yeah.
And he said, oh yes, this is a song that we can do because Walter Scott, the lead singer, he can absolutely nail it, and he absolutely does, and I'm sure you will agree with me.
Yeah, it's a great version. I love it. That was the original version that was recorded a little bit faster, and now what we're going to do is play the version that you remember. Yeah, there's two versions of it, actually. Here we go.
chat, baby, across the road.
All right, Joe, that's a great one. The Cheater, a cover version of Bob Cuban and the Inmen. Walter Scott was the original singer on that. But this was a band, you got this in St. Louis.
Yeah, I found it in St. Louis. It's on Musicland USA, which is a St. Louis record label. So I was convinced at first it was another St. Louis band covering The Cheater until I looked closely at the credits and I saw that it was a Belkin Maduri production. It was engineered by Arnie Rosenberg of Cleveland Recording.
Yes, Arnie Rosenberg, yes.
And James Testa was also engineered as well, or was also involved with the production. I said, wait a second, these are Cleveland guys. And it turns out the band is from Cleveland, fully assembled. They're from 1970. And there's a great website called BuckeyeBeat.com. You can find out more about them there.
Joe, have you ever gotten to the point where, you know, you said to yourself, you know, the business you kind of like, you don't enjoy it as much as you did. And, you know, we all get to the point where we love this so much, but it gets like to the point where we need something new. Well, how do you keep yourself fresh? You know, how do you keep yourself going? I mean, do you go to record stores and look for albums by people you didn't know made albums, or, you know?
I go to record stores. Unfortunately, being not always having the money to buy records, I will listen on YouTube, kind of get a sample.
Right.
I don't like, the quality on YouTube is certainly not the same as a record, so I'll listen on YouTube, and they'll automatically generate songs for me sometimes, and all of a sudden they'll put up one that I've never heard before.
Yeah.
And it gets me all excited again, and all of a sudden one song leads to another, and I got a whole show planned for the week.
That's what I was looking for you to say, yeah. I mean, it's fun like that. One thing leads to another. And you never know, and that's exactly how I work, too. Because, you know, sometimes you go, ah, God, what am I going to do today? Or I need some ideas, and that's kind of what I like to go on that. And what is the, if you had to put in the top five of the greatest dance soul tunes of all time, what do you consider those to be in the 60s? I think J.J. Jackson, But It's All Right, is one of my favorites.
Oh, that's a great one.
Better than Don Cornelius?
Huh?
You're talking about soul hosts, better than Don
Cornelius? No, I said soul songs, dance songs, Cindy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the hosts of, like, you know, Soul Train and those shows.
No.
That's Don Cornelius.
So Edwin Starr, 25 Miles, may possibly fall into top 10 there. But, I mean, if there was a few more in the top five.
I've never created a top five of this category before, so I'll really have to think about it. But one that comes to mind is Dyke and the Blazers.
Right.
Funky Walk.
Right.
Dyke and the Blazers had so many great records. And I got to thank Herb from right here at WCSB.
Herb Irvin is excellent. If you have a chance, the anti-urban thing on Saturday, Herb Irvin is amazing.
Yeah, used to be on Fridays for the longest time, and every Friday afternoon I would listen to him. And the one thing I wish he would do more of is talk, because I love hearing his voice. Absolutely love hearing
his voice. He's got a great
voice,
and he's got a great style. He plays a lot of great music that I've never heard before. And in fact, I learn from Herb, and I like to get Herb down here on my show sometime. Herb is really, really good. He just has a great calming of a presence to him. He really does.
And he plays some unbelievable soul records, ones that have probably never been on your radar before.
Right.
And it's amazing. And I actually found one that he played a long time ago by King Coleman.
Oh, I love King Coleman.
Yeah, it's kind of a goofy song, but it's fun, and the kids love it. It's called the Boo Boo Song.
Oh, the Boo Boo Song. Yes, the Boo Boo Song.
So I got to thank Herb from right here at WCSB for turning me on to King Coleman.
Oh, I love this. Take it away, guys. Yes.
First comes love, then comes marriage. Give the bride and groom a baby carriage. Look at that, here comes Jack and Jill. Look and see if their buckets fill. Jack and she got Jack.
Yeah.
Jack and she got you. Baby, 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 baby
Boom, 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 boom
you know, Joe, interesting stuff, huh?
Yeah, I love baseball, and everything he said was just phenomenal. I was listening to everything. Yeah.
Mark Zimmerman is a very, very good speaker, and he has a lot of good things to say, and I wish I could be there to listen to him. However, I'll be, let's see, where am I going to be playing? We're playing at Gilmore Academy. You ever been out there?
Which Gilmore?
Well, the one
there's,
out.
But there's one down in Cedar, and then there's one out in Gates Mills.
Gates Mills.
Oh, Gates Mills. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Their sports facility out there is unbelievable.
Yeah, I've taken my son to a hockey game there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, we're playing right behind there in the baseball field.
Okay.
And the field is beautiful, just all turf. It's gorgeous. Just, uh-huh. But there's no shade there, but it's a beautiful place. Nice bleachers. And the hockey facility has two rinks.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my goodness. I actually played out there. You know, I don't know, it was a pickup game or something I played out there. Yeah, it's amazing how much money that, you know, would cost to build that. And there's just a ton of it out there.
Yep, they could give some of it to me so I can buy some more records.
Hey, let's have a jump of Joe Madigan fun. Let's get Joe those darn records that he needs. All right.
We're talking about League Park. And if you've never been to League Park, it's at East 66 in Lexington. And the field that they have there is precisely where the original field was. So you can stand in the left-hand batter's box and stand in the exact same place right where Babe Ruth stood when he hit his 500th home run at League Park.
Yep.
I mean, just think about all the legends that stood there. Ty Cobb. I mean, it's endless, the list.
I know it is endless. And I actually got to pitch there at that field, and it's really cool. Even though it's turf, it's still super cool. And he mentioned the third baseline. Actually, the place where he's going to be speaking, it's on the first baseline. But it's a beautiful facility. The museum is beautiful. And I sincerely mean that. It's a great thing to see. If you like baseball, it's just a wonderful experience. Take the time, if you have it, go down there and look at it and just check things out. It's really, really worth it. And Ricardo Rodriguez has been on this show before. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I mean it. It's really cool in there. And if you love the history of it like you and I do, Joe, you see the ball. Babe Ruth's 500th home run is there, the ball. I mean, and you look at the wall in right field. It was huge. It was a 20-foot-high wall, if not more.
So it happened in that field.
Yeah, it happened at League Park.
Huh.
And he did not use a bat that I'm using, like a 33-ounce bat. He used a 44. That's
a
heavy bat.
Well, he was a huge man.
No, I don't think he was that big.
No?
No, I don't think Babe was just unique. He had a great eyesight. He was quick. He was a very good outfielder, of course, a great pitcher, as we all know. And Babe was just a great athlete. He didn't always look like Jack LaLanne, but he was just a really good athlete.
Okay.
And I think, I mean, his lifetime batting average speaks for itself. Aside from the home runs, the guy hit over 330. You would think a power hitter nowadays hits 220. This guy hit over 330. No helmet. They didn't wear helmets, Joe. I wouldn't get in a batter's box without a helmet.
No, it wasn't until that unfortunate tragedy that happened at Yankee Stadium. Carl Mays was the pitcher.
Yes, Ray Chapman.
Ray Chapman was the batter.
Yeah, there was a documentary about that. It was so sad.
It was during
hit him in the head. Right?
It was during the 1920 season, the year the Indians won the World Series.
Correct.
And back then, the pitchers used to be able to doctor the baseball so they'd get it all nice and muddy and
yes,
dirty. And it was very hard for the batters to see. And it was getting towards evening, and Ray Chapman never saw the ball coming. And it hit him right in the temple, and it cracked his skull, and he died from his injuries. So after that, they said, no more. The baseball has to be white. The batters must be able to see it. And that's when the home run era began.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they called it, before that was the dead ball era. Yeah. Coming up here in about 15 to 20 minutes, Tom Scrow. He's a record promoter for Columbia Records, and he's going to be on talking. And Joe, you can chime in with the interview too. I think you'll like that. All right, a tune called Funny by the Dave Clark Five. And there's nothing funny about Jumpin' Joe Madigan, because Jumpin' Joe is like the son I never had.
Aww.
I think he is a son you never had. Sitting here with twins here.
I don't know.
They're like each. It's hysterical.
I don't think Joe wants my DNA because Joe is a lot smarter than I'll ever be. So, but Joe, tell me about our next record.
This is As we talked about this off the air, that the listeners have introduced us to so many great records, and DJs have introduced each other to great records. This was one where somebody called in and said, hey, I'm looking for this song, and they're singing about animals in a cellophane zoo. And I thought, wow, that's pretty wild. What on earth is this? So I had to do some digging, and I discovered that it was a song that actually hit the top 40 on Wixie 1260 in March of 1967. It's a Gene Pitney record, but it's a Gene Pitney record like you've never heard before. It's called Animal Crackers.
One day, what did I see? Animal crackers kept me company. Sunday, with nothing to do, I opened up a box and I went to the zoo. Elephants, kangaroos, monkeys in a cage, all lived together in the same old place. Reindeer, zebra, canary on a swing. When everybody's happy, everybody sings. One day, with nothing to do, I opened up a box and I went to the zoo. Sunday, what did I do? I learned how to live in a cellophane zoo. Antelope, buffalo, tiger seem tame, will resemble one another, though the ways are not the same. Koala bear is furry hair and camels have a hump, but why does this old elephant come without a trunk? One day with nothing to do, I opened up a box and I went to the zoo. Sunday, what did I do? I learned how to live in a cellophane zoo. Look at all the animals looking to be free. Look at all the animals looking back at me. I think that I should eat them because I'm getting hungry. One day with nothing to do, I opened up a box and I went to the zoo. Sunday, what did I do? I learned how to live in a cellophane zoo. I learned how to live in a cellophane zoo. I learned how to live in a cellophane zoo. I learned how to live in a cellophane zoo. I learned how to live in a cellophane zoo.
Joe, somebody just called that knows both of us.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. I didn't think anybody liked us, but I'm glad people do like us. But no, I know they like you because you do an incredible job. Jumpin' Joe Madigan is our guest. He's been here all morning. Joe, tell me about your show and when it airs.
Well, it airs on Saturdays from 5 to 7 p.m. on WJCU 88.7 FM. I hope I'm allowed to say that on this radio station.
Sure.
I play the lost, the forgotten, and the classics of the 1960s and early 1970s. So we play a lot of similar stuff. Yes, I will play hits on the show as well. I do take requests. But, you know, I'll play a hit, and then I'll play something that was maybe a minor hit in Cleveland that's long forgotten about, like Animal Crackers by Gene Pitney.
Which was a great choice.
Holy smokes. I couldn't believe it when I first heard the record.
No, I like it.
And then I got another one that's also very popular with my kids down in the basement. You were talking about playing surf records. Oh, this is a great one. We'll play this one a little while, too. So, yeah, it focuses mostly on music from 1964, 65 to 68, 69. But again, I do play early 70s as well.
Yeah. Joe does an incredible job, as most of you already know. And Joe, I know we have different styles, but it kind of works. And you're always welcome to come here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I was a little nervous about this because, you know, usually in the afternoons, I'm kind of bouncing off the walls a little bit. Not as much as I did on retro radio, but I get very excited about the music.
Yeah.
So that's why it.
Well, we're all excited. I mean, I'm jumping around in the other room, and people tell me to stop, but it's the medication. I'm just kidding. But no, we're having a lot of fun here, just jumping around.
Oh, this is True Confessions Day. Okay.
Cindy, I'm joking. I'm joking. It's a joke. All right.
Okay.
I'm kidding around. So what do we got, Joe? It's a surf tune, huh?
Yeah, written by Lee Hazlewood, out of all the people.
Lee Hazlewood, he teamed up with
Morning.
Well, he teamed up with Nancy Sinatra for quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, had some very unusual but cool records. So this one is, this one's for Grady, too. It's Al Casey and the Caseyettes with Surfin' Hootin' Nanny.
We're gonna have a surfin' hootin' nanny. Oh, come
Jumpin' Joe Madigan is back. Joe, what are we playing here?
Some guy named Lou Reed when he was doing doo-wop in 1960.
Lou Reed doo-wop? Wait, in the same sentence?
Yes. Well, listen for yourself.
Oh, this has got to be something else. Here we go.
Your love, your little love, your love, your little love. Ooh. I never thought I was a real whole man to your love.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Come back anytime.
Will do.